You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
First Corinthians 13, we're going to start reading in verse 4. You know, many of us, the question is, what is love? What actually is love? What is it? We talk about it. Most people, they're talking about it. They're talking about relationship. Guys talk about girls. Girls talk about guys. How many know that's true? How many know that's the way it should be? Amen. And that's true. And that's all I'm going to say on that. Amen. But that's part of life. We talk about love. We sing songs about love. Most songs that are, you know, especially in our modern culture, they're love songs. Guys singing about love and women singing about love. And then we write about it. They're love stories and all of these things. But the question we ask is, what is it? What is this thing that we're infatuated with and we're focused on? We looked into this a little bit last week. We started our new series. It's called Love Is. And then we're going to discuss that. And so last week we said that love is the ability to put yourself on pause. Remember that? Love is the ability to be able to put yourself on pause. That means that I can stop thinking about myself for a moment. I can stop being selfish. How many have been putting themselves on pause this week? That's very discouraging. Nobody put their hand up. Amen. Well, let me just, I'll press the pause button for all of you. Amen. Listen, I've been putting myself on pause. Sometimes, how many know the preacher has to preach himself? Amen. Listen, you need to go to a church where the preacher preaches to himself, that he's practicing what he's preaching. And throughout the week, things have been happening, and I've been saying to myself, Courtney, put yourself on pause. You preached it, and now do it. But we want to look at another element of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Let's read along with it. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. I want to read the first three words again. I want you to read it with me. 1, 2, 3. Love suffers long. Let's say it again. Love suffers long. One more time because you really enjoyed it. Love suffers long. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. Speak to us. Let your word illuminate our path. Father, I pray that you change our hearts. Most of all, we pray that Jesus would be magnified in this place. And all God's people said, and the real Christian said, amen. I want to speak about this element, love suffers long. And the Bible is saying that love has the ability to suffer long. That's what it's saying. Love has the, that's deep, isn't it? Love has the ability to suffer long. The same three words. That's what it has. And I was thinking about the image. In the summer last year, we had our fun day in Battersea Park. And at the end, we had our tug of war. How many remember that? Who won, by the way? Who won, yeah? Was it tooting. Someone said clap and someone said tooting. Okay. And so false doctrine. And so Wandsworth won. Amen. There you go. Wandsworth won. And so we had this tug of war, and I had the video of it, and they were pulling. And the women's one was brutal, man. And I'm not even going to go into that. Women's one were brutal. People were like holding on. They were being dragged along the floor. No one stopped. Are you okay? No, just pull it. Win. We're going to win. Dragging someone along. But, and then we did a kids one, and then we enjoy ourselves. Amen. And so the men's one was it was kind of new because we had the men's one, and so they were pulling, and then they started to lose for a while. They were losing, and then all of a sudden, someone went, pull, pull, and then they started to win. And then this side knew that they were losing, and this side, they just gave up. This side, it was, you could feel they were painful, it was all of this. And so, you know, love is love. I was thinking about this, these people that were holding on, and even though they were losing, and the ropes pulling through your hand and it's painful. How many know if on the other end of the rope was your wife or your kids, you would have held on for longer? How many know if you was climbing up a mountain and your family member, you know, I paused there with a wife because I was thinking maybe someone would let go. But, you know, or your husband is on the other end. Our brother's gone, man. And so imagine if there's a loved one on the other end, someone you really love. How many know you would have held on longer than you did here? Like here, you was like, oh, we're losing. I forget. Who cares? But here, if you felt the same weight, the same pain, you would have held on. Because love suffers longer. Love, if you felt that, you know what, I've got to go through this to love somebody, you would do it. And so really what we're saying here is love has a high pain tolerance. And that's really what I'm preaching about. This sermon is called High Pain Tolerance. And so let's say it with me, because I just like to get you to say things because you're very quiet. 1, 2, 3, high pain tolerance. So if you leave here today and you go shopping and someone asks, what did you do? And you say you went to church and you had a good time. And they say, what did you hear in church? And you'll say, I heard a sermon about high pain tolerance. Listen, you're a pleasure to preach to. And I mean that sincerely. That doesn't sound very romantic. How many know it doesn't sound very romantic? High pain tolerance. But it is essential. This week, Wednesday's Valentine's Day, by the way. Yeah. All day. It's Valentine's Day. And let me just say this, yeah? We got this drama, debate, stroke, amazing event on this Wednesday. You do not want to miss it. Listen, I'm getting excited just hearing about it. It's going to be, oh yeah, this is the one. Now I know I'm in the church. Now I know I'm in the church, the right place. I was a bit scared today. I'm in the right place. Listen, you do not want to miss this. Look at someone say, don't want to miss this. And you don't want to just come by yourself. You want to bring people out. This is going to be amazing. It's going to be one of the best things we've ever done until we do the next one next week, amen. Or till we do the next thing. But bring people out, amen. That's my advertising for that. But this week, people are going to be giving cards. They're going to be giving chocolates. They're going to be giving flowers. But most of all of those things, I guarantee, on the card, there's never going to be, you know what, I have a high pain tolerance for you. I love you so much that I'm going to exhibit high pain tolerance. Now imagine you see a heart and you see those fat babies with the arrows and the heart and all of that. And underneath there's a thing and it says high pain tolerance. You're not going to see that. But the Bible says this is what love is. It says love suffers long. And what that means is that love has the ability of taking pain for a long time. Now some of you may be thinking, love and pain, why does it have to go together? You know? Love and pain, you know, why is that going together? The reason why that has to go together is that we live in a world where there is sin. You're a sinner. Did you know that? And I'm a sinner. We've made mistakes. We've fallen. We're broken. And if you're going to really love somebody, if you're going to love people, they're going to let you down. Did you know that? See, many times people want to exist in a bubble where they don't want their heart broken. Listen, the only place that you could exist where your heart would never be broken would be hell. Where your heart would just go and you would just be like, you know, I'm by myself. That's hell. Because your heart gets harder and harder and harder and you don't let nobody in. Many times people have gone through things. There are women that have dated men and had relationships been hurt and I'll never love again. And they'd be like the song I spoke about last week. You know, and all of these things that people go through, even men do the same thing. And so you become hardened. I don't let anybody in. I don't let people know who I am. I don't get close to people. You know what it is? Yeah, your heart is protected. But the problem is you're not interacting with people. You're becoming a weirdo. That's the reality. You've pushed people away and you become isolated. And whenever you see human beings isolating themselves, they go weird. That's a nice way of me putting it, by the way. When you isolate yourself, because people are always going to hurt us. That's part of life. I'm not saying it's a good part. I'm not saying I enjoy it. But you've got to understand that that is a part of life. See, in my life, people have done the most wickedest things to me and said things to me that I can't believe. But you know what, in life as well, people have done some of the most kindest things to me, said some of the most wonderful things to me, and I'm here today because good people put their words and their investment into me. That's part of life. You're going to have bad, you're going to have good. And so whenever you realize, you know what, I'm going to have to love people, people are going to let you down, even if they don't mean to let you down. You marry your spouse, this is the person, I love them. Listen, they're going to let you down. People let people down, not because they want to, but because they're human. And so this is why we need this tolerance. Now, I've got an illustration here. And so I was going to get people to come up, but we're going to have another illustration later on, so don't worry. These I think people want to come up. Somebody wants to come up. You, Matthew, you just look like you want to come up. Now, I'm so tempted to pick somebody else, but I'm going to pick James. Amen. You come up. Amen. I was tempted, but you know what? I'm behaving myself. Hallelujah. And so, amen. Put that mic down there. Don't worry. Okay, so you can hold this one. James, come up. All right, take your time. Come on. If that's all, you could have done it in two steps. Okay, so the word tolerance, you can also use the word in an engineering way, the word tolerance. And so what it means is the ability of movement without breaking. Tolerance. How much movement? Whenever you build a building, they have to put tolerance into the building, because every tall building, skyscraper, the wind is blowing it, and so it actually has to move a bit. This is actually, you know, a Discovery Channel wisdom here. And so That's tolerance. So there has to be some movement there. So put it right up in front of you, straight. And so start to bend it. Look at that. That's tolerance. All right, don't break it. I've got to take that home. And so start to bend it. Both ways. See this there? This is someone who's flexible. They can move. Things are not going exactly as they want, but they've got tolerance. So the marriage, the wife burnt the cooking. Okay, we can get by with that. He forgot to get me a Valentine's card. I can live with that. But over here, sorry, James, open out a bit. So hold there. You got the strength. Now, if you can't bend this, then we need to speak to your brother about some PT. And so put it out in front of you and just start to bend it a bit. Didn't know your own strength. I paid £100 for that. I'm only joking. He believed it. Think about this now. As soon as he bent it a bit, it snapped. You know why? This has more tolerance than this. And so let's try again. Let's just use one. And so think about it now. She burns the cooking, starts to bend it. She burns the cooking. He snaps. Wah! No tolerance. Don't worry. Just throw it on the floor. Each time you break it, you look like, I shouldn't have done it. Okay, there, because you're good. Because your heart is good. That's why you like that. Amen. Some people are coming and just breaking it, snapping it all day. And so now, here's the wife. The husband forgets something. You know, he didn't borrow a card or whatever. Let's spend it. Go on. She snaps. See, the problem here is this has no tolerance. Come over here again and give them one more. Look at that. That's tolerance. That means that love has more tolerance. Love has a higher pain tolerance. Love can handle more things without snapping. Give them a round of applause. Amen. Just leave it there. We'll work on it. See, this is what we're talking about here when we says love has a high pain tolerance. If you're someone who's immovable, if you're someone you need everything perfect, when things don't go your way, you snap. When life on the job, you snap. You're snapping all the time. You need to learn to develop a higher pain tolerance. What you need is love. See, many times what we have, our pain tolerance is too low for it to be love. Pastor, what do I have? I have this feeling for somebody. I have something drawing me towards them, but I'm not very tolerant. You know what it is? It's called like. You like them. See, like can snap. I like you. I can like you one day and not like you the next day. That's like. What many people are calling love is really just like. How do we know? Because the tolerance is too low. If it was love, then you wouldn't be snapping. You've got a little bit. That's what it comes down to, is that people are calling like love. See, like says, I love you until it hurts. That's what like says. Like would be like, I love you. It's not that people are not saying the word love. How many know people are using that word all the time now? People are using that word all the time. There are some people in here, you've actually said that word to somebody. And the reality is you just like them at the time. There are some people here, it's been said to you, oh, I love you. You don't even see that person anymore. It was just like. See, because what happened is they liked you until it became uncomfortable. How many like being uncomfortable? None of us. See, this is why love is different. When you like somebody, until the circumstances become unlikable, you're out. When it's inconvenient and uncomfortable, that is when it starts to hurt. That's when you've got to be flexible. See, we have high expectations and low tolerance. I did a bit of research, read some articles about marriages, and there was a story about, it's very sad, this is tragic really. There was a guy, he's in Nigeria, I don't know why that's funny, but somebody laughed. He had an argument with his wife. His wife refused to cook for him for 3 days, and so he murdered her. And he's on the run. It happened last year. He's actually on the run. I don't know if they caught him. How many know that's low tolerance? How many know that's snap? How many know that's snap? Amen. And so we praise God for the saved Nigerians. You're saved. Because maybe someone's like, oh my days. That's why Ulu was like, amen, amen. Lauren was like, oh my days, I better cook the dinner tonight. I heard another story. This is about an American woman. And basically her husband was doing some DIY, took down a wall, put it up, and she didn't like it. He just moved the wall a bit to extend the room. And she said, oh, I had to divorce him. What? There was another story about this couple. They got married. I think they're like an Asian couple. And so they got married, and they had a big wedding, and it's this lavish wedding, and everything was there, and everything looked beautiful, and all of that. Wedding goes fine. They go off on honeymoon. They go to a romantic spot. There's sun, there's sea, there's sand, there's everything there. The wife's in a bikini. She's going swimming. She goes into the water. And as she comes out of the water, all of her makeup has gone. So now her eyebrows are totally gone. Her eyelashes, I don't know where eyelashes were, man. The guy thought it was like a crab. So her eyelashes are gone. The contour is no longer contour. The contour is on tour. The foundation wasn't firm. Not a firm foundation, that was a good joke. And so she comes out of the water, and the guy looks at her, and he says, that's it, I'm getting a divorce. He says, she tricked me. I was thinking about that. Listen, this is so many single ladies. When you date a guy, yeah, one day just turn up, no makeup. Just turn up, no makeup. Just roll up there, yeah, get in his car. Hey, where we going? Where we going? And he's like, my day, I'm sure those eyebrows, they were like around here like the other day. They're like, what? Amen. I don't want to put, you know. Hey, listen, not wrong with the lashes, man. Amen. Not wrong with the lashes. I'll give me £5 later for saying that. So you think about this now. Here is this man, he said, and he actually logically said, you know what? No, she's ugly. She tricked me. She hid her ugliness. And so, Another one. This one's crazy. This is a woman in America. She divorced her husband because he said he loved her too much. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
He loved it too much. And basically what it was, so they was asking her, what is this about? And he said, yeah, every day he was telling me he loves me. He'd just come up behind me and hug me and say, oh, you know, I love you, baby. And she said, he's telling me I love me so much. I was thinking, when is he going to box me? I was like, no, something's not right here. She said, not only did he, so she's trying to dig herself out of this. She said, not only did he say he loved me, but he used to cook for me. And his food was good. And so she started to swell up a little bit. And so she blamed him for her weight problem as well. And so she divorced her husband because she said that he loved her too much and his cooking was too good. Now some of you sisters are like, give me that brother's number. Give me that brother's number now. The point I'm making is this, is that we've become intolerant. We laugh at those things, but can I tell you, there may be people here that in your mind, if you was to tell us why you would think, you know what, oh, this marriage is too hard, this relationship is too hard, maybe we would laugh at some of those things and be like, come on, that's not too hard. Hebrews 12 verse 4 says this, you have not yet resisted to blood, striving against sin. In the book of Hebrews, the Christians, what they were doing, they were saying, oh, we're being persecuted. This is too hard. Come on, allow us. Don't make us do right. And Paul writes to them, well, we believe it's Paul, and he writes to them, and he says, listen, ain't nobody bleeding here. No one's giving blood. And before you start to think, oh, my marriage is too hard, or you know what, this is too tough, is anybody bleeding here? Is anybody giving blood here? Could it be that our love is too weak? There was a man, he had a couple, they got married. And as they got married, the wife got into a car accident very early on in the marriage. And basically the doctor said, you know, we think she's going to die. But she didn't die, she came out, but she was never fully what she was before the accident. She would go in and out of real reasoning and having a reasonable conversation with her. The husband had to bath her. They had to feed her, had to take her everywhere. And so this is how this man lived. And she lived for about another 10 years, struggled through life after the accident, and then she died. And so after she passed away, one of the guy's friends said, do you feel that you've been cheated, you know? Do you feel that you've been cheated out of life? You know, you was a young man, you got married to her, and then, you know, You basically didn't enjoy the wife. You guys could have went on holidays together and gone skiing together, but you was kind of stuck here. You was doing that. Did you feel like you've been robbed? He says, these are the words he says. He says, you know what? The thing I think about is that I feel sorry for my wife because not only did she go through the accident, but she had me to take care of her, and maybe I could have been a better husband. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? How can you say? He says, what is making you say this? And the guy paused for a moment. And then he said, you know what? All I can tell you is this. I love her. That's all I can say. I love her. This is why I would do this. This is why I would live like this. This is what it's about. Because love has a high pain tolerance. It can take it when life does not go our way. I want to start to bring this message down and say this. Pain is how we've always measured love. When you think about it, pain is always how we've measured love. Because when somebody rushes into a burning building to save a child, we'd say that mother loves the child. Why? Because she's willing to risk that pain. When we see people that will risk their life for someone and say, you know what, I love you. Even all the fairy tales and the hero stories and the prince and the princess who fights the dragon for the princess. And we say, oh, how he loves her. Why? Because he's actually endangered himself. He's gone through pain. And so we've always measured love by pain. But we are in a dangerous time because we're shifting this. See, even in the Bible, if you know your Bible, and even if you don't, an interesting book to read is Hosea, is a prophet in the Bible. And so what he speaks about is God leads him and he marries a woman who is kind of spicy, a bit lively. This woman is she's a prostitute.
and she's cheating on her husband. And here is this man, he's a prophet, he's a man of God, he's loving God, he's living for God, and he's married a prostitute. And if you read the story, at one point, he brings her home, and she runs off, and she goes down to the market, and back then, you know, she's selling herself, like, who wants to buy me tonight? Who wants to pay for me tonight? £10, I'll sleep with someone for £10, £10, £10. And he has to go down to the marketplace and say, I'll pay. Hold up, that's his wife. But he has to pay. And God says this, you know what that is? It's a sign. He says this is a metaphor, a picture of how God loves us. Of how God loves us. That we sell ourselves to sin. God created us. God made us. But we sell ourselves over to sinful desires and sinful habits, and we live our life for the world, and we try to get pleasure out of the things of this world that leave us more and more empty. And God has to be the one that pays the price to bring us back. Now, you may be here thinking, Pastor, what do you mean pays the price? Who paid the price? What price? When did God say, yeah, you know what, I'll pay for you? See, God's love for us had to have a high pain tolerance because he had to die for us. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he was paying the price for you and me. He was buying us back because we had sold ourselves to sin. I was speaking to a young man yesterday. I was witnessing to him, and had a really good conversation. And he knows about Christianity, and he was telling me he was thinking about other religions that he wanted to get involved in. And as I was talking to him, we were talking back and forward, and one of the things I said to him, I said, listen, the three main religions in the world stem from one person. All stem from one person. Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. They stem all from Abraham. All of them, Abraham. Muslims, and Jews, and Christians. They all stem from, they all call Abraham the source. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Israel's 12 sons. They go into Egypt. They come out of Egypt. Who leads them out of Egypt? Moses. God actually instructs Moses, okay, I want you to teach the people this. When they sin, they must make a blood sacrifice. Islam recognized Moses. Jews recognized Moses. Christians recognized Moses. Moses taught the people, if you sin, there must be a blood sacrifice. The question I asked this young man who was thinking about these other things, I said, where is the blood being sacrificed for your sin? And the same thing I ask for everybody here. Where is the blood being sacrificed for your sin? No, Pastor, I'm a good person. No, only blood can be the sacrifice for the payment of sin. No, I go to church, or you know what? I bow to the east and the west. Only blood. See, if you're here and you're a Christian, the blood was shed when Jesus died on the cross. That is the blood sacrifice. What that tells me is that God loved me so much that his pain tolerance was so high that it could keep him on the cross. Think about this now. Nails going through your hand. At some point, have you ever thought you could really do something like, I'm going to do that, and you realize how painful it was, and you're like, oh my days, let me drop that. Imagine this now, if his pain tolerance wasn't high enough, if God didn't love us that much, as soon as they put one nail in, he'd be, oh, no, stop that. No, we're going to figure this out another way. But they're whipping him in. The Bible says this, in Romans 5:9, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I want to do another illustration. The welcome team are going to come up. Welcome team. No, not you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I was going to let you just stand up here, but then I didn't have nothing for you to do, so God is good. You're going to be Jesus. I was just thinking, was you Jesus before? That's why I was pausing. You're going to nail him on the cross. You're going to be us. And so think about this now. The Jesus on the cross, the Bible says in this text, let me read this text. I want it to become 3D to you, higher definition. Much more than having been justified by his blood. That means when he died on the cross, he justified you. And so let's stretch out your hands. Put them up, okay? And what we want you to do is nail him on the cross. Give him about 10 hammers on the hand. Okay, over-dramatization. Okay, now think about this now. Now you're going to come stand here. Now, at this point, the Bible says that Jesus died upon the cross when we were his enemies. We didn't go to him and say, God, would you please, I love you, I think you're the best, would you please send a sacrifice for me? We didn't do that. Jesus instigated it before we ever did it. So you're living your life without God. So I want you to be like, forget this and all that. Come on, a bit more, man. Maybe we should have got him to do that. No, come on, give it something like this. Go on. And so Jesus looks at that, and you know how Jesus answered the rejection? Put the nails in his hands. This is his answer. Jesus answers your rejection of him with blood, because he has to pay. Think of how painful this is, going through him. Imagine how painful it is on the cross, and we don't want it, but he still takes it. He pays the price. His love is so strong that the pain threshold is so high for you. This is how much he loves you. His pain is so high for you. He loves you like this. Now think about this now. Once he's died, you can put your hand down, and he resurrects. And now you turn to him and you want to know him. Show, please, you're praying. Now think about this now. What happens here is as you're walking towards him, I want you to pretend to trip. Okay. What we think is this. At this point, he would hate us. When we make mistakes, God's finished with us. When we slip up, the Bible says, how much more? When you didn't want to know him, how did he answer that? With blood. He died to bring you to him. Now, if you want him and you're trying to come to him, do you think if you make a mistake that he's not going to love you more? If I die for somebody who's my enemy, what am I going to do for my friend? If I die for someone, if the tolerance of my love is so high, you can bend it. My love tolerance is so high when you hate me. Now that you're trying to come to me and know me and walk with me, that you think that somehow, that as you come close to me and you make mistakes, that somehow, get out. No. What would he would do is go to trip again. Helper. This is how Jesus is. No, like that. But this is the picture. This is, the Bible says, how much more? How much more? How much more is his love for you? That love, can I tell you this? People that understand that love, they don't backslide. They make mistakes, but they don't backslide. People that don't understand that love, you may not understand that love here. Maybe you understand church and you understand me, you understand Potter's House, and you understand these things, but you don't understand his love yet. That love has a high pain tolerance. That you're making mistakes, but he's flexible. He's not like, God's like, you know what? If you will come to me, I will restore you. I will restore you. Thank you, guys. How many of you ever seen that film, Beauty and the Beast? Funny story. When me and my wife got married, we got married in Southwark Registry Office before we had the ceremony. As we went into the registry office, they actually were playing that song, Tell as Old as Time. No joke, innit? No joke. Don't worry, man. That's all you get. We joke, like, I said to my wife, God was telling you a sign, man. Beauty and the Beast. God was trying to warn you, man, even to the last minute. God's like, no, Beauty and the Beast. But you think about that story. Here is this story of a man who, he has a lot of wealth. He has all this money. And some wizard or wizardess comes to him and says, you know, will you help me? Will you give me a glass of water? And he repels the person. He's like, no, get out of here. And then they reveal themselves, I'm a wizard. And then they turn him into an ugly creature. And so when you think about it, what it means is that here is this man that had money and he had good looks and his pride. But what he did is that he had ugliness on the inside. And what the wizard does is he says, you're ugly on the inside. I'm going to reveal it on the outside. And he becomes a beast. We know the story. Time goes on. Then there is this young, beautiful girl that comes into his life. And in the beginning of this, what we see is that there is this beast and he's threatening and he's loud and he's aggressive. But then what happens is this girl, she's not scared of him. And she shows him love. And so even though he's ugly and unlovable, she starts to love him. She starts to show him kindness and love. And that love starts to change him. And we know what happens at the end. He first changes on the inside. And then this miracle happens at the end. He changes. It's not really a miracle, but let's use that word. He changes on the outside. He's no longer ugly on the outside. And we see that story and we're like, oh my days, yes. Can I tell you that is like the gospel? That we have become full of pride. Mankind, ugly with sin, doing what we want to do. If you doubt that, look at the world today we live in with murder, rape, pedophiles. The biggest disease they say in the world is depression. People are with broken hearts, all types of things. We can't even leave our doors open. We have to double lock everything. Lock our cars, lock our bikes, lock our computers, lock our phones. Because of the world, the ugliness of the world. And God sees that. And God knew that we were lost and we were pouring this out on one another. Because sin has corrupted us. But God sent his son, Jesus, in the beauty of holiness. Even though me and you were still ugly in our sin, Jesus says, I love them. I'll die for them. I'll take the pain for them. And as he starts to pour his love onto us, and even though we are unlovable, he loves us. God is still loving you. He's made you something lovable. You start to change on the inside. You start to become what God wanted us to be. And now we look at your life and there's a beauty on the outside. God is using you. Some of you, your ministry, God is doing certain things. Listen, that's only because God first loved you. When you were ugly, God loved you. People come to me all the time, you know, Pastor, we thank you. Pastor, you've helped us. Pastor, you and Francis, you're amazing. You did this. Can I tell you, that is just the beauty coming out because when we were ugly, God loved us. See, this is what love is. Love has a high pain tolerance. If you're looking at somebody in your life and you think, you know what, is this the right person for me? Listen, you better look at their pain tolerance. Are they like this or are they like that? The reality is this. Even you may be sitting here thinking, you know what, I'm snapping all the time. You've got to let the love of God love on you. You've got to come to Jesus and say, God, you know what? I'm coming to you as I am. And his love will change you, that you will become. See, the only reason I can love others is because he first loved me. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.